don't know exactly what's in his heart, but I think most of the feeling is mutual. It's good to be here. Thank God for the wonderful encouragement of the message. And I suspect that we preachers need it worse than anybody. I really mean that. We do. And so I suspect these conferences mean more to the preachers than they do anybody else, really. And we're grateful to the Lord for the privilege of being here. And thank God for this church that's been here for so many years, preaching, teaching the truth. I'm glad to be identified with it. I really am. As we said, it's great to be here. Now, I've had myself time. I have a message that I wanted in the worst way preached, and the Lord don't want me to preach it. Now, what am I going to do? Preach the one he says preach? I expect I'd better, don't you? But we get that way sometimes, and some of you have heard me try to bring this message, but it's a needy one. It's a needy message. So you pray for us and trust the Lord will bless us. You know, a year ago, we had some very strong feelings about retiring from pastoring churches. But I'm so glad that the Lord can be over our feelings. This past year, just recently, I mean, we've had two men surrender to preach. At least they made the announcement, and they're working on surrendering. I would have missed that. And then we had a great, wonderful time last Sunday at the Faith Baptist Church in Paducah, the best service, spiritual service, that we've had in a long, long time. I believe that it pays to claim God's promise that ye shall reap in due season if you faint not. Amen. I really do. Had one saved, and I baptized two. I preached last Sunday night, tried to preach on the blessings or why people ought to endure. Well, we had the baptistry full, and already the young lady that had been saved Sunday morning that presented herself for baptism, and we were going to baptize her that night. And another teenager came forward that had been saved a few years back. And I said to her, would you like to be baptized also tonight? She said, I sure would. And I said, well, I've never done this before. You know, people say you get in the same old rut. We ought to come over to Faith. We get out of the rut sometime. Not really, but planning, it just works out that way. So I said to her dad, that's standing by, I said, you take this young lady home and get her some clothes and bring her back, and we'll sing till you get back. And so he said, be back in a minute. And here they went. And my son, Ronald, my oldest boy, leads the singing. And I, as I said, I preached on endurance. And his mother asked him yesterday, said, Ron, why didn't you get another one of the young men helps us in the singing? Why didn't you get him to help you lead the singing? He said, I was running an endurance contest. So if he got the message, I'll be satisfied, you know, if he'll just keep enduring. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 2 Timothy. And the book of Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6. These are familiar verses of Scripture. And I'm not going to take the time at this time to read a number of verses in 2 Timothy, chapter 3. But I believe we'll read verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. It reads like this. It's talking about in the last days. All of us are familiar with this. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous and boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I want you to notice the one word there in chapter 4. Traitors. We could read it like this. In the last days there will be traitors. The word's mentioned one other time in the Bible, and only one other time. In Luke chapter 6, verse 16, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which was also the traitor. So we have the word traitor in Luke 6:16 that has reference to Judas. We have the writings of the Holy Spirit through Paul to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4 that is pointing out. Now over in Luke 6 it said that Judas Iscariot, who was the traitor. But here the word is traitors, which appears to be saying that there may be many of them. And there's no way of studying these texts apart from connection with one or more of the Lord's New Testament churches. Judas Iscariot was a church member. He's a lost one, but he was a church member. Now all of these things that we have here that will be in the last days are having reference to that, you know, those conditions that will exist in the Lord, some of the Lord's churches, just before the Lord comes back. You believe that? Is that what he's talking about? Then if that's what he's talking about, if it's going to be men lovers of themselves, they'll be covetous and so forth, we're going to find some traitors around. Amen. Now this message may not be very pleasant, but it'd be the God's truth. And I've already, as a brother said tonight, I preached it at our church. We tried to preach it last Saturday down in Tennessee. So Tennessee and Kentucky may not be quite the same, but they're still there after trying to preach it. I want you to notice it's serious business. I believe the business that you and I are in tonight, according to Brother Smith and according to the teaching of the Word of God, we're into it because God put us into it. Amen. Not by our choosing. Amen. Churches that are represented here tonight, if they're true New Testament churches, they are that because God is the cause. And so we're talking about things that are serious. As we think about the truth of it now, that it's going to be in the last days. Now, very simple definition of the word traitor means one who gives over, one who gives forth, or one who gives up. That's a traitor. All of us are familiar, if we read the papers and hear the news, You remember just a little while ago, maybe 2 or 3 months, there was a young man, they thought he had deserted the Army or the Armed Forces. I don't remember whether it was in the Army or Navy. But he was gone about a week or so. And then he showed up again, and they found out that not only had he deserted the camp, but he had also betrayed some secrets to our enemies. He was a traitor. There are many traitors today from the standpoint of this great United States. I said this at home, and I repeat it again tonight. I thank God for our men through the years that have stood true to the greatness of our state and our country, this United States. And I believe we have this privilege tonight because God raised up some young men that has fought the battles. And I want to tell you, if you were here today and tonight and you spent that time in the service to defend this country and was true to it to the best of your training and acknowledgement, I want to acknowledge, my hat's off to you. I appreciate you. I love you. I believe it's of the Lord. I believe God has had this country of ours protected. Don't you? And I tell you, he's protected his churches the same way.
Amen.
By raising up men and women, of course, as members of the church, but especially raising up men who would not give over. They would not give forth nor give up. Though the dangers were on every side, and they are tonight. I'm going to try to point out to you here how we can recognize one who is well on their way to becoming a traitor if they haven't already. And this is going to be according to the Word of God. Now I want to say, first of all, to be a traitor of this country, one must be of this country. I believe today that all of these men that want to take the other nations' ways and bring them over here and introduce them into our country, I believe if they like those ways so well that they ought to be forced to go live there.
Amen.
I believe we ought to love it or leave it. I believe that's true with the New Testament church. We ought to love her or leave her.
Amen.
Rather than to become a traitor. Now there's a difference in being a deserter and a traitor. If I understand the teachings of the Word of God. You find many times, and I can mention to you a number of people in the Bible that certainly were deserters for a time being. Abraham at one time was a deserter, and he's the father of faith, the father of us all. If you remember, it was in the time of famine that he took his family and went over and down into Egypt. And he said to his wife, "Now you tell them you're my sister." Now the reason he did that was in order to save himself from some persecution in Egypt. And you know how God took over and how God kept Abraham's wife from committing adultery with the king. God protected her. And so God sent Abraham back with repentance. He was a deserter, but he came back. He didn't give up, he didn't give over, and became the father and is the father of faith today and mentioned many, many times in the Word of God.
Amen.
You take the sweet singer of Israel. You and I use him often as we think about his backslidings and the terrible sins that he committed. And how that God forgave him when he came back with a broken heart. We read about Thomas over in the New Testament that were certainly a deserter. At least he was that Sunday night when he didn't go to church. He was a deserter. And Simon Peter was a deserter. And the Lord said, "Now Simon," said, "I prayed for you. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted," he said, strengthen thy brethren. And this is exactly what Simon Peter did. And so when you study this lesson, you'll find that a traitor has to be in the Lord's church. I don't believe that leaders in Russia can be a traitor to the United States. You? I don't believe old Castro can be a traitor to the United States. But I tell you what, there are men in high places today that can. They have access, and we'll be mentioning that as we go along a little. They have access to the secrets and to many of the most important documents that we have today. And they have to be there in order to be a traitor of this country. Now that's true in New Testament church. Judas Iscariot was close. I know he was saved. He's lost. I realize that. But I want to tell you, he had the confidence of every member of that church. Now you remember, of course, the position that he held was a man, he was trustworthy, they thought. He carried the money bag. That meant he counted out the money. And he was the treasurer of the First Baptist Church. You remember when Jesus Christ came on the scene and he said, "Now, one of you is going to betray me." And the Bible said with one accord, those disciples said, "Is it I?" They didn't say, "Oh yeah, I know who that is, that Judas." They did not do that. He had their confidence. He had their confidence. And they said, "Is it I? Is it I?" And so, there are a few of those things that I just wanted you to notice as we go along here. The main things that I want you to notice with me tonight is that which leads up to one becoming a traitor. And it has to do with the faith, as we'll notice also a little later on in the message. What leads up to that? How can we recognize the danger signs? First of all, in under that thought would be, it will be from those who know the truth and deliberately turn from it. Was not Judas exposed to every Bible doctrine and the teaching that John was exposed to? Amen. Was not he taught by the same in the same church? Amen. He was taught the same Word of God. He was taught the thing, I realize that he didn't have the indwelling Spirit of God. I realize that. But yet at the same time, he was exposed to the Word of God. I tell you, one of the most dangerous things, that's right along with what Brother Smith's already said, is to deliberately reject what we know to be the written Word of God. Now, friend, you and I are flirting with danger.
Amen.
To deliberately reject the truth.
Amen.
There's one thing of being ignorant. You know, Paul tells how he received the mercy of God and even his taking action against the church in the early part of the church's early life. And Saul sought to destroy it. And later, after God saved him, he said, "I did it ignorantly, in unbelief." There's a whole lot of difference in doing something ignorantly in unbelief and doing something deliberately and knowing better.
Amen. Amen.
Because that brings the wrath and the judgment, and God will deal with any of us,
amen,
who deliberately know the truth and reject it and turn from it. And God will deal, and I'll show you that if the Lord let me. I'm going to have so many things we may not get them all shown here tonight, but if we don't, we'll just stay here till morning, huh? It'll be all right. All right, now listen. We've said that he knew the truth, and he deliberately made his plans and his purposes and his desires and manifested his desire to betray the Lord. We realize that it was written. You see, this isn't a new thing. You know, I get thinking about all the good things that God foreknew, that he foreknew me, you know, and predestined me unto salvation and all of those things, and he knew that he was going to call me to preach. But I tell you something else God foreknew. He knew all the bad things too.
Amen, brother. Amen.
He knew all those. And Judas was not a surprise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's written in the Old Testament that Judas would betray the Son of God, that he'd become a traitor. And so we have that, knowing the truth, having the truth exposed. You know, it isn't counted anything today. It's a small thing in this day that we live. I was talking today to a person, and we were talking about along this same line, about people that have a terrible time finding the church to go to. You know why people, 95% of the time, that people are church hopping? Because they won't repent.
Amen.
And so they're looking for a church where they can serve God or go through the motion of serving God with all of their sins, with all of their ungodliness, with all of their Judaistic ways. And so that's the way that's done, you see, in this world in which that we live. So we find now that old Judas gave a kiss of betrayal, a kiss of love. A kiss of love. Now, I tell you, the Lord knows whether we love Him or not. The Lord knows them that are His. And the Lord knew that Judas was not His. But the Lord also knows that there is a possibility in this congregation, in our congregation tonight at home, He also knows that there are those, that there's a possibility that old Satan may overpower and get that Baptist person in such a condition that they lose all of their power and their right to think, and they absolutely cannot think aright. Now, friend, God will do that. That's judgment. And we'll read that in just a moment here. So let's look now. One that is headed for to be a traitor will reject the power and leadership of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about saved people now. Rejecting the power and leadership of the Holy Spirit. Our brother read to us and quoted to us tonight where that the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And when He has come, He will lead His people. He said, I can't tell you it all now, but when I'm come, He said, I will teach you truth. And He said, I'll not teach you of myself, that I'll teach you of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I know that the Spirit is the third person in the Godhead. I realize that. But the Holy Spirit does not brag on Himself. The Holy Spirit brags on Jesus Christ. Beware of any person tonight that brags on themselves. They'll brag on the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of God. And we can know when the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us. The best thing, best way in the world to find out tonight whether we're serving God is seeing if it glorifies Christ.
Amen.
If it glorifies Christ, go ahead with it. It's all right. If it doesn't glorify Christ, stop it. I don't care how sanctimonious it is. Doesn't make any difference what it looks like. All right, now let's notice something else here. Things that are leading up to becoming a traitor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 2 now, or chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, and verse 3 that says this: without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. Incontinent. Now that isn't a lost person. That's a saved person that doesn't have any power. They're without strength. That's what it is. I used to think that said incontent, but it doesn't say it at all. It's incontinent. And it means they're without strength. And when you and I tonight lose our strength with God, and God refuses to give us strength, we're open prey to old Satan. Because he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now friends, You might say, well, now, Brother Clark has about lost it. He doesn't believe in the sovereignty of God. I tell you what, I believe it any way you want to preach it. But I also believe tonight that God permits some things. And I believe that we can reject the sovereignty of God, and we can rebel against the sovereignty of God, and bring ourselves to a position and condition in this life that we'll not have the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we'll go in the energy and power of the flesh. And God warns against that. Now that isn't saying that God isn't the Almighty and it isn't sovereign. I want to tell you, God has a will to do anything He wants to. And if God wants to turn me over to the devil for a little while, He can do that and has a perfect right to do it. He did Simon, didn't He? Turned him over to Simon for a little while and let the devil sift him. But He prayed for him that his faith wouldn't fail him. Now, I don't have any guarantee. I have the promises of God that we live by faith. But I don't have any guarantee that if I'm too... Well, let me tell you what I'm talking about. I don't believe it's right for David to commit adultery. Do you? I believe he's saved. I don't believe it was right for David to kill that woman's husband. Do you? Now, it didn't happen because God couldn't help Himself. My position is that David will give an account unto God because he didn't listen to God. The Bible talks about how that he sent his men off to war. And he wasn't with them. And he deliberately went out on the top of the house and began to gaze upon a woman taking a bath. And he lusted after her and sent for her and committed adultery. Don't try to blame that on God. God's not the author of confusion. And David repented with a broken heart and came back to the Lord. But what I'm saying is, as far as I know in the Word of God, I don't have any record where a person that was a traitor ever repented and came back to the Lord Jesus Christ. There'd be very few times, if any, in the Word of God. Read the seven churches in the book of Revelation. They were Baptist churches, and they were filled with a lot of good truths, and they were also filled with a lot of error, and they went and went and went away from God and away from truth until God said, I'm going to spill you out of my mouth. That simply means He's going to disown them. Somebody said, I don't believe the Lord ever lets one of His churches do that. I do. And if you don't believe that, that's between you and God. But I believe that. I believe the revelation is so. And so we have that, and the churches, after all, are made up of people, aren't they? I believe, again, that God's servants need to cry out with a warning in these days of laxness and warn the people of God. There's a lot of things we can't lose, but there are some things we can lose.
Amen.
In the service of the Lord. All right, now look. As we said, leading up to becoming a traitor, they were rendered them helpless and weak, incontinent, that is, without strength. I want you to notice another thing that leads up to becoming a traitor. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. Despisers of those that are good. Don't you think that's what happens to a traitor today? He despises this country. He gets thinking more of another country than he does this country. And so if I just betray these secrets and these things, if I'll betray them and another country can get a hold of those things, they'll make that a better country. And he does it because he looks down upon this country. He doesn't love it. And that's exactly what we have here before us today in this teaching of becoming a traitor. The word here, despisers of them that are good. Now that's so in every phase of life. despisers of those that are good. That's so in the law enforcement agency today. Despisers of those that are good. That's so in the educational system today. Despisers of those that are good. And I'm sorry to say that's in the churches of our Lord. You just live for the Lord and try to be separate as our brother taught us tonight, and to do it for the honor and glory of the Lord. And I tell you what somebody will say to you young men, if you try to live for the Lord, said, what are you, a preacher or something? They mean to be spitting in your face, what they mean to say. They mean to make fun of you. You young ladies do what our brother said, as far as godliness is concerned, said, what do you think you are, an angel? Well, if anybody wants to ask you what you think you are, a saint, you say, you betcha.
Amen.
Because that's exactly what a saved person is.
Amen.
Is a saint of God.
Amen.
Young saints and old saints and middle-aged saints, you've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But despisers of those that are good. Now, in the Young's Analytical Concordance, they said this means not friendly to the good. It's talking about fellowship, isn't it?
Amen.
You can't get through this world, friend, without fellowshipping with God's people.
Amen.
You're a church member tonight. You can't get through this life without fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so God commands that we be friendly, and we preachers be given to hospitality.
Amen.
Bible teaches that. And He's warning us, I believe, against coming into a condition where we'll be even tempted greater to be a traitor. You know, to be a traitor, you got to betray a lot of folks. You know it? You really have. So despisers of those that are good. Who are the people that are looked down on today? Any realm you want to look at. It don't make any difference. And especially Baptist churches and Baptist church members. Holier than thou, they say. It isn't that at all. It isn't that at all. It's not that God's people can't get out in the world. It isn't that at all. I tell our people, quit saying you can't go to movies, and quit saying you can't drink, and quit saying you can't dance, and quit saying you can't gamble. You can too. God will make you wish you hadn't, but you can. If you give anything up, give it up because you love the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
And because you're washed in the blood of the Son of God. It's not a matter of what we can't do. It's a matter of what we won't do by the grace of God. Despisers of those that are good. Now this is leading up to something. It won't remain like that. Despisers of the privileges, the blessings, and the opportunities. It'll also, becoming a traitor, will also be caused by love for self and a selfish life. That's what a traitor will do. Love for self. 30 pieces of silver. Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? Oh, may the Lord help us to see this. Now, let's think about another thing or two here. Whom does one become a traitor to? Whom does one become a traitor to? To the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Doesn't the Bible say, concerning our being bought by the precious blood of the Lord, therefore glorify Him in your body and in your spirit,
Amen.
Which are God's.
Amen.
So if we're going to sell out, if we're going to give up, if we're going to turn loose, turn over, you know, things over, we're going to betray Jesus Christ
Amen.
To save us.
Amen.
So, well, He knew I was going to do that before He saved me. You better believe it did. That's why salvation by grace. They don't have anything to do with what I'm talking about right here. Nothing whatsoever. So, We betray not only that, the Lord, we betray God the Father.
Amen.
We betray God our Father when we give over, when we give up. I believe there's been a lot of people that have given up the truth about God being their Father simply because they wanted to join in with the Fatherhood of God group. And so they deny that particular wonderful begetting of God the Father by the Word of God unto being born again.
Amen.
And born of God. And to betray God. Become a traitor to God. And then become a traitor to the church. I don't mind telling you, anybody that one time believed, or at least said they believed, that the church was local and then started preaching it's universal, they're traitors.
Amen.
They're traitors. They're traitors to the church. I mean, they sold out. They turned over.
Right.
Traitors! And they're not apt to ever repent. See, this is sad. This is sad. I'm going to show you they don't repent. Anything awaits them but the judgment of God. God's going to tell us that. Now, the church is instructed in the fifth verse, from such turn away. Severe punishment ought to be administered upon a traitor.
Amen.
And the church cannot give any more severe punishment than to turn away from them and to denounce them publicly as being a traitor.
Amen.
We're commanded to do that. From such turn away. Turn away from them. We turned to them one day, didn't we? They come down the aisle, said, I'm saved. I want to become a member of this church and live for the Lord. And the church publicly places their approval upon their life and receives them into the fellowship of that church, and you'll never have any greater honor bestowed upon you by mankind.
Amen.
Than to be admitted by the church, as far as the church is concerned, to give you the authority to become a member of the Lord's church. And that's the reason we baptize them.
Amen.
You won't ever be a member of the Lord's church without the right kind of baptism. Amen. And I might say that a preacher today or a church member that won't stand for that is also a traitor.
Amen.
A lot of traitors in the world tonight.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
This is not too bad right now. We seem like we might be all still friends, but it's going to get worse. A traitor, he won't quit. He just changes camp. Now listen to what God has to say about this. And he's writing to Timothy how to pastor a church and what to look for. Verse 6. For of this sort, this kind. I've been condemned a lot in my life by saying that they're not our kind. There's a lot of Baptists not our kind. They're not our kind of Baptist. There ain't anything wrong with that expression either. They're not our kind. That's what this is saying. Of this sort, of this kind. Said, I want to put some marks on them so you can tell them. Well, God even said in the Word of God, if a person causes division in the church, said, mark that individual. Put a mark on him. So that the church and everywhere else will know. We ought to do that. All right, now look here. And when I preach this at home, I'm telling you the truth, I never heard such a quiet bunch of people in my life. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, slipping around, creep into houses. I confess, I don't know what these houses are. I don't know whether he's talking about the church. I'm not talking about the church house. Let me tell you a little something happened here, right here before we get real serious. Two Sundays ago, I was preaching, and I looked out the front door, glass door, and I saw somebody moving in and out among the cars on the parking lot, creeping along. See, that's what I'm talking about. Well, that Sunday night, we came back, and we found out that some of the members had some things stolen out of the cars. And the men said, "Now, Brother Clark, say, if you see that any more while you're preaching, you let us know." So I was up preaching last Sunday night it was, and one of our young ladies got there late. I'm already preaching, and I saw her creeping through those cars. What she trying to do was slip in that church where I wouldn't see her, I reckon. I don't know what. And I said, "Men, there's somebody on the parking lot, and our church almost emptied the men." And they met that young lady coming in the front door. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if those brethren would arise to this that I'm talking about here?
Amen.
I told that young lady, I said, "Don't you ever come in church that way again. You just walk in here right bold." I mean, she was surprised, and the men were surprised, and I was surprised, and like to broke up the church, but we finally got everybody settled down and went ahead and had church. They creep into houses. Friends, there's some creeps around, you know it?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
And they're in Baptist churches, too.
Amen.
I mean, they don't have any guts.
Amen.
You know what that is? Somebody said it's intestinal fortitude. Well, I guess that's right, but guts, I know what that means. And they slip around. Did you ever have a man in the church, or a woman either, in the church that they would never come to light? I mean, they'd put all their devilish meanness in somebody else's mind, and they'd sit there as sanctimonious as you please. And when trouble came, they would slip out of there without a scar on them. But I'm telling you, God knew them. He had their number. And I recognized them being a traitor. Creep in the house. That could be church houses. I'm not talking about this kind of house now. I'm talking about into the church, which is the house of God. That could be homes. In fact, it's anywhere where that traitor's ministry can be accomplished.
That's right.
Now listen at it.
Amen.
Now I want to say this before I get in trouble. I do thank God tonight for every godly mother,
amen,
every godly wife,
amen,
every godly teenager. I thank God for them.
Amen.
But they're not all godly.
Amen.
Now listen to what he says, brothers and sisters. Creep into houses and lead captive silly women. I don't draw back in preaching these.
Amen, brother.
The first one in the Garden of Eden was silly.
Amen. Amen.
And she had a weak-kneed husband.
Amen.
That didn't have backbone and didn't have enough get up and go about him to listen to God, and got us in this mess that we're in. And we say, the sin of Adam and Eve. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said, by one man's sin,
amen,
death entered into this world. And it said also, the woman also was in the transgression,
amen,
and she's been answering for it ever since.
That's right. Amen.
I go down in the shadow of death, give birth to their children. Had there not been any sin, and had she not been part in the transgression, there would have been no pain in childbirth. They said God is with her and will be with her in childbirth. But there's a lot of silly women in this world. There's a lot of ignorant men, too. I don't want you to think I'm just up here tonight talking about the women. But I want you to know a traitor will seek his ministry from a bunch of silly women who are not dedicated to God.
Amen.
Who are not living for the glory of God.
Amen.
And he'll seek out those silly women to get his backing. That's what the book said.
Amen.
So that's what old Brother Clark said.
Amen.
And I've seen it.
Amen.
In my day. I've seen it in my ministry. Now listen, here, that's not all of it. Silly women, laden with sins, loaded down with sins. And it's still against God to sin. I mean, there's whether it's men or women.
Right.
Whether it's children or grown-ups.
Right.
And people loaded down with sin will not listen to the true ministry,
amen,
nor the true minister of God.
Amen.
They'll not listen to the word of God. So they don't have any trouble getting that kind of leadership, that kind of following. Isaiah prophesied concerning this very thing, and I believe it's in the second chapter of the book of Isaiah that talks about how the government and how this world will be run in the last days by women and children. I ask you tonight if that's not the way it is.
Amen.
I mean today. Now, a lot of people have the idea, and you may be here tonight if you're not used to this kind of preaching much. I say if you're not. If you've been going into these brethren churches, you are. But you know, a lot of people have the idea that we men, you know, that believe the truth and the woman's place in the church and the woman's place in the home, that we go around with a big whip in our hand all the time, you know,